Welcome to the BAM Comic Podcast, episode 26, recorded on the 15th of April, the eve of nuclear Armageddon.
You're really worried about this, aren't you?
I am. It's topical. It's been topical. I was going to try and make it like a news podcast. What better way to welcome yourself into a fiery Armageddon than reviewing some comic books?
It's quite funny because our big topic is actually Thor Ragnarok, our first discussion topic, which, if you know your Norse mythology, end the world, mate.
If we hear the siren, I reckon I do you.
Yeah.
That's how I've always seen it.
Okay.
I could go back to my friends and family, but...
You're going
to
do me?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's how I see it going down. Anyway, I'm your boy Neil, joined as always by Stu. Say hello, Stu.
Hello.
And then back in shiny England, but not quite yet back in BAM Towers, is your girl Carly.
Hello.
Oh, the new reverb.
Hang on 2 seconds. There's some clicking. Is that us or is that... Oh, it stopped.
It stopped. It's the Geiger counter.
Okay. Oh, there it is again.
There is.
Is that someone's... microphone thing tapping on.
I bet you.
It's James, isn't it?
I bet you it's fourth guest that has just done a run-in before her introduction. But surprise everyone, Lucy James is here.
Hello.
Okay, that was an interesting audio pop, but let's keep it. Let's roll with it.
Sorry.
No, no, that's all right. You just sounded a bit like a Smurf. It was fine.
Wait, that's my natural... No one knows I'm secretly a Smurf.
Of course. Of
course. It's out now. It's out now.
Do kids still know Smurfs?
Yeah, yeah, there's movies.
Yeah, there's a new film.
Yeah.
I know.
Is there? Yeah.
I know Katy Perry's a Smurf.
Is she?
Yeah.
As in the voice of one in the cartoon.
Yeah, she's definitely not an actual Smurf. But yeah, yeah.
Gosh, you said there's a new movie out.
There's three.
Is this the second one? Or the third one?
I have seen the second one.
I'm not even going to ask why.
Anyway, we're up against it. Nuclear fire is coming and we've got an hour to do this show and there's many, many comics to talk about. So, speaking of which, Sue, tell us about today's menu, which will in no way feature comic-related movie or TV.
Well, I've already spoiled that, haven't I? So, I think it's fair to say we're going to talk about the Thor Ragnarok trailer.
Oh, okay.
Don't feign.
What was that noise?
Yeah, don't feign like disgust. You know it's amazing, and we do need to talk about the teaser trailer.
I can only see half of Neil, so it's like,
that
picture of the theatre where it's half smiling and half upset.
There we go. I'm all in.
That's it.
Full frame.
Yeah, so that's gonna be. I'm gonna talk about that, and I'm gonna bring it back to comics, Neil.
Right.
It's an opportunity for me to talk about probably one of my all-time favourite comic book runs, which was Walt Simonson's Thor.
High praise indeed.
Then we're going to talk about some controversy around X-Men Gold, which came out last week.
Ooh.
Always believe in your soul.
Exactly.
Oh, Christ.
Well, someone had to do that gag, and at least it wasn't me this time.
Fair enough.
And at least it was right at the top of the show, so you don't have to.
True, get that out of the way. And then we're going to talk about some comics, which... going by my list I've got here, I've got Freeway Fighter from Titan Comics, which I think we've all had a chance to read.
Yeah.
And the same goes for Spencer and Locke, which is quite a surprise. We got sent that randomly by the publisher. Well, it was actually...
it's nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And then you foisted on me 3 comics.
Yeah.
You went, here, read these. I read them.
I was just going to stash them here. Did you read them?
I did read them.
I'm going to
apologize. Was I not supposed to read them?
I'm going to apologise for at least one of them. But,
yeah, so it was the first issues of Darth Maul and the relaunch of Rat Queens, first issue of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then randomly you gave me the second issue of Marvel's America.
Which was in no way bought because it's a play on the Beyonce video.
Is that what it was?
That's exactly...
So I felt like an old
that's
man.
That's my entire reason for buying it. Let me just show that to the guys.
Yeah.
There you go. See, I didn't know that.
You didn't know it was Beyonce?
Well, I knew there was a Beyonce cover, but I had to Google what the video was.
Right, okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
This might come as a vast shock that people that I'm not up to speed on my Beyonce.
The last one I remember was like Single Ladies, that one there, she's doing that silly
hair
movement.
God, you're so behind.
I know.
Oh my God.
I totally thought...
You need to get in on the visual albums.
We're being usurped.
The visual albums?
Visual albums. Lemonade visual album.
We're being
so
used to... So in my day, we used to call those sort of things concept albums. Is that not a thing anymore? It's a visual album now, is it?
We're being usurped by our youthful guests. Cut the feed.
And then if you grab, underneath that one, there's a couple other comics I pulled out.
Right.
All right, so yeah, X-Men Gold I mentioned already.
Yeah.
X-Men Blue, which yeah. came out, which is the other relaunch, and first issue of Weapon X.
You've got very X-Men. You always do this. You always go trundling back to the X-Men.
I do.
How many times have I told you?
And then what else have we got? Oh, yeah, I've actually got a fun little thing. Where is it? Oh, yeah, a piece of paper. I've got a little game that we're going to play with our guest. Well, you're going to play with Lucy.
Right.
It's called What's My Origin?
Right.
See, Carly's smutty already.
Keep it
above
boys, yeah. for heaven's hey. Sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've gone through this already with Carly this morning. These are kind of cryptic lines that are origins of superhero characters.
Is this just a way for you to get back the Sinister Society of Stupid? It's not going to happen.
Probably. But, Cardi was pleased. There were 7 of them, I think, I put down. Cardi got 1.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I got more than that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No.
Sorry, it wasn't That's recorded, so it's Stu's word.
Yeah. So we'll do that. Anyway, so we just crack on.
We should do. We should also give a very quick shout-out to Teddy Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Who have opened up a market stall in our small market town, and we were like, hang on, there's a stall selling comics. And it's actually better than all the surrounding comic stores in our area. It's fine, you've not got sponsorship from them.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, that's true.
It's good. And they gave you a bag and they drew Batman on it.
Oh yeah, I don't know if the girls are saying this. Look at that. I got a personalised bag. That's really cool.
We'll put
that on Twitter. And also, I just remembered.
Right.
We got a shout out from the most bizarre places.
Did we?
I've been chatting to the really cool guys over at 365 Flicks podcast.
Right.
And he mentioned, he said that he got recommended us.
Right.
By a Sky TV engineer.
What?
So I just said that's really cool. And he's basically explained that he was trying to get his broadband sorted. Mm-hmm. And he's on the phone to them. And she said, oh, yeah, you should totally check out the Band Comic Book podcast.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Someone recommended.
Oh, wow. That's mad.
I think the context is that he was saying he needs to get his broadband sorted because he needs to record like a new episode of their show. And she said she recommended Bam, which that's random. So yeah,
not necessarily so random. That'd be back in my old hometown.
Is that what it is? Is this family?
Well, I used to work in that call centre.
Ah,
I can recreate it. What she says that you should. It'll be Scottish, but you should totally listen to that Bam comic podcast, pal.
Good.
If you're listening to this, comic book listener, thank you for spreading the good word.
Yeah, and drop us a message if it was you.
Yeah, drop us a message, and in no way go to HR and pull my file from Sky, because that was murky.
Oof.
I definitely left in good circumstances.
Oof. So, before we get a HR lawsuit from the past come back, Thor trailer.
Go on, then.
Well, what did you think, Mr.
How do you spell that?
UGH, I think.
All right. Was that American Graffiti, wasn't it?
Would you?
All right.
I think it's any movie that Matthew McConaughey's been in.
Dazed and Confused, wasn't it?
All right.
Yeah. I thought you'd do an Outcast, like, all right.
Oh, no, I thought it was Matthew McConaughey.
It wasn't as upbeat as that.
It's all right, the kids know about Outcast. We still know about Outcast. We're bringing it back.
Yeah.
We got that reference.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're still young. All right, so Thor Ragnarok dropped. I think you and I messaged each other about it at the same time.
Yeah.
Started off with like, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, don't do this.
Really?
Don't. Yeah, I was like, nope, two cheese. And then by the end of it, I was like, well, before we got there, we had Immigrant Song.
Mm-hmm.
So my
epic use. Justified use.
Bumhole was clenching even faster. It was down to like the size of a 5 pence piece.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't do this. And then by the end of the trailer, I was like, actually, all right, this is really fucking good.
I'll go out and say that it's probably one of the best teaser trailers.
Teaser trailers?
One of the best teaser trailers of any movie I've ever seen. Like, wow. As previous listeners will know, I'm quite excited about this movie anyway. But genuinely, this is probably one of the best trailers I've ever seen for anything.
Well,
it was just pitch perfect from the beginning, use of music, all the way through. I mean, from the very beginning for me, that the money shot was when Dark Kate turns up and like smashes Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yes! That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Would you like Dark Kate smash your hammer?
To be fair, though, when she wrapped up, I was like, it ticks all my boxes. So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, it's quite interesting because we've all got people that we fancy in there. You also like Kate.
Yeah.
Carly is a noted fan of the Hemsworth and indeed the Hiddleston.
We got a shrug. Lucy's nodding there. Like,
oh, I just, you know, all of the above.
Well, you've got Carl Urban as well, which everyone knows, Thinking Women's favourite, Carl Urban's in there.
That was a real deep comic book cut for me, because that references something I'm going to talk about later, about Walt Simonson's run on Thor, his very brief appearance in that trailer. But anyway, we'll come back to
it. It was very brief. But yeah, no, it was a great trailer. I don't think... Does anyone disagree? We all...
I really liked it. I even liked the well-timed gag at the end, like, I know him from work.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, it has potential to fall flat, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I just think it, from everything, it just hit all the boxes. Like, as Lucy said, about with the sense of humour, that to me is necessary for these kind of movies. And I just wonder if, like, the DC Films office just watched that and were like, oh, fuck this, and just, like, packed up and left, because they just, like, Marvel seemed to get it.
Yeah. Although I did read a thing about, I can't remember who it was, but it was someone who absolutely hated Batman versus Superman.
Blasphemy.
And
pretty
much everyone. But it was like some media outlet that was really, really vocal about it. And DC invited them to the set when they were filming Justice League.
Right.
And this guy had a complete 180 on his opinion, because he saw like a scene being filmed and he was like, oh, holy shit, they've actually got it. It's funny. Like, it's more self-aware than it was, and it's like less serious. So
maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm jury's out. I know you're excited about it because it's got Momoa as Aquaman, and he's
hello.
Like,
Aquaman.
Oh, thank God, Lucy's here.
Sorry.
Speaking of resident hot boy expert, Carly, what did you make of Thor's hair?
Fine. I'm not looking at his hair, though, to be honest.
Right.
Do what you want with his hair.
Okay.
Isn't there some,
fussy,
like, people taking screen grabs and drawn red circles because he didn't have any underarm hair?
Oh.
Oh, really?
Or it was trimmed, like, super short, and everyone was like,
Maybe that's the fashion in Asgard, you know.
That's fine. Whatever. Whatever floats your boat. Yeah. I was watching his workout videos, though, the other day when he was training. I got into a bit of a rabbit hole.
Do you know what? For a millisecond there, I thought you were mentioning it was some kind of like the Jane Fonda workout videos. Like, he's actually done a video. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you'd probably sell.
Wouldn't put it past him.
No.
Especially not Taiki Waititi, who's done those kind of tie-in comedy videos of him living with his flatmate.
You think he needs
during
80s,
Civil War.
An 80s workout video.
Yeah, because the video, I thought the trailer, like, it was done like an 80s video as well. It just felt... Oh, I don't know. I'm just really excited about it. Sorry. I'm just going to...
Have you guys seen not only What We Do in the Shadows, but his other one?
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Did you catch the Wilder People Easter egg?
Yes. Is it in the scene with... At the beginning with Dark Kate?
It is.
The background is a reference to old... What's-his-face, his little...
Old Ricky Baker.
Ricky Baker, that's it. Yeah.
It took a little second.
Oh, the Ricky Baker songs.
So... This is all right. We're not going to fight over Thor. We're all agreeing it's a good trailer. One thing that was pointed out to me, probably by you, but I'm going to pass it off as my own opinion. But
Please do.
I definitely read it on the internet. This is how they're going to marry MCU together. So, like, the sense of humour in this seems to sort of echo Guardians, and it'll make Guardians less weird when they eventually collide.
Well, yeah, definitely. And one thing... Looking at the trailer as well, someone who's got the kind of comic book knowledge, that they really are going back to the old school, like the Stan Lee and Jack Kirby Thor stuff from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a scene where you've got Grandmaster, played by Jeff Goldblum, we haven't talked about that yet, and Tom Hiddleston in the arena. At the backdrop, someone's actually freeze-framed it, and the artwork on the backdrop is taken from a splash page from one of Jack Kirby's Marvel comics from the 60s. That kind of weird tech. There's other scenes in the trailer where you've got those kind of weird-looking aliens and those odd, angular-shaped spaceships.
Yeah.
That's all, like, very, very Kirby-esque, which I'm, like, really, really pleased to see. Particularly as this year, Kirby would have been 100. So, for me, it's almost like Marvel movies are probably coincidentally doing a tribute in a way. So it's quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's going to be smashing.
Yes.
Smashing.
Boom, boom, boom. We mentioned before we started recording this that another teaser trailer dropped yesterday for a non-comic...
Did it?
...related movie, Star Wars The Last Jedi. And as teaser trailers go, we were kind of like...
Blistering hot take, everyone. Yeah. Wasn't that impressed?
No.
They did the classic, oh, let's do a slow version of the music and like, dip the blacks. And I was just like, eh. I don't know. I mean, like, it'll probably be great.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, but it's, especially if you compare it, like, it came out the same week as that Thor Ragnarok teaser, which everyone was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it was so good, so many memorable moments. Like, the only bit I can really remember from the Star Wars Last Jedi trailer is there. Maybe the bit where Luke goes, there are too many Jedis.
Yeah.
It's time for them to stop.
I think for me it was the back of Carrie Fisher's head, because I was a bit like, oh.
Yeah.
And then the end, that was, I think that was quite near the beginning as well. And I can't remember anything from the trailer, actually.
I was saying to Stu, like, last time round, I wasn't feeling new Star Wars at all until their very final trailer. So it looks like that's going to strike again.
I think it'd be great, but as teaser trailers go, that was a bit...
One thing someone noticed is that Finn is now wearing Poe Dameron's complete outfit now. So you know how in the first movie how he got his jacket?
Yeah.
Now he's got a full get-up.
So maybe the Poe...
Bros for life.
Yeah, Finn bromance thing's going to happen then.
Well, let it happen. Yeah. Let it happen.
Anyway.
Also at a Star Wars celebration, Captain Phasma.
Oh, right.
I might be the only person excited about this.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of street cred. Like, the inevitable first issue or first run of it, which leads us up to Last Jedi, don't care, because it's going to be too hemmed in. But if they can do a breakout character where it's just Captain Phasma Space Nazi, that's going to be amazing.
Well, I think the expectations for that character from the first movie... There you go. Oh, I Lucy's wearing...
I've just realised me and Lucy have the same pyjamas.
Right. What is that Phasma pyjamas, is it?
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I own Phasma pyjamas?
Fair enough. Wasn't she supposed to be like this trilogy's like Boba Fett breakout character, I think? They were expecting it to be.
Yes.
And I remember before Force Awakens came out, they were talking about her character and how amazing she is. And I think J.J. Abrams was like to say it was one of his favourite characters. And I was like, oh, great. But she was barely in it.
Yeah, she didn't do much.
No. So,
no, she was also a bit by the numbers as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I may or may not have bought a Captain Phasma Xbox controller before seeing the film. Literally before going to see the film.
Do you regret that?
Yeah, because it broke.
When's that coming out? You know?
I don't know.
Right.
I saw it at 6 o'clock in the morning when I was woken by that darn baby.
Right.
And then I saw the cover and was like, oh, and I saw who was writing it. I was like, now I've come to record this podcast.
Hooray!
Hey. Who was that woman at Sky?
Don't know. If it was you, like I say, just drop us a line.
Let us know. Let us know.
Yeah. It's going to bug you now, isn't it?
It's really going to bug us. Only 20 minutes in and we're talking about comics. This is a new record.
I've mentioned comics a number of times.
Right, we've got 40 British minutes to squeeze in as many comics.
Briefly go over this X-Men Gold nonsense then.
Tell me about this X-Men Gold, because you were talking about blue and gold last time, and now you tell me there's some form of controversy over
black
it.
And yellow, black and... Oh, that's different, isn't it? Sorry.
Even got on the BBC.
Did it?
Yeah,
we said that BBC at the same time.
Scary.
Yeah, the further away you girls are, the more Stu and me are bonding.
Exactly.
Finishing each other's...
So, I'm going to ask you in a minute, Lucy, what the BBC said.
You didn't
I'm not doing it. I'm just ignoring now. Right. I'm getting back on track.
Right.
So, X-Men Gold is one of the relaunch titles for the X-Men universe, which has a new team, a new old team. So, Kitty Pryde leading Old Man Logan.
There he is.
Jean Grey, who's been given a new code name, which I've forgotten, sorry.
Darker Phoenix.
Not Jean Grey, sorry. Yeah. Rachel Grey, which is Scott Summers and Jean Grey's daughter from an alternative universe.
Oh, it's like EastEnders.
I know. And then you've got Storm, Colossus, and Nightcrawler.
Right.
So the controversy comes from...
Right.
The artist, Ardian Syaf, has put some hidden messages in the artwork, in the background of the artwork. Yeah. It's not an uncommon practice. Like, when I was reading comics back in the day when I was a kid, I used to love seeing as hidden references. Like, I remember an issue, keeping it back to the X-Men, of Excalibur, where they do this whole parallel universe storyline, and they're in this kind of weird holding room, and in the background you could see, like, a TARDIS, and, like, a Dalek, and...
Yeah,
so that's kind of fun. That's kind of, like, hidden stuff I like.
Right.
This was kind of a bit more I don't want to say sinister, but it is a little bit. So it's to do with, it refers to, bear with me, political protests in Indonesia, because Ardian Saif is an Indonesian artist,
right.
As well as referring to certain Quranic verses, which, depending on your interpretation, can be seen as positive or negative.
Right.
In particular, they can be seen as anti-Christian or anti-Jew in their meaning.
Ooh.
It's something
like, the passage reads something like, do not consider the Christians or the Jews to be allies or something.
Well, I think it goes like, don't trust them as leaders, which in the context of where it appears in a scene where the X-Men have saved the day and Kitty Pryde's doing a speech in front of the people because they're all like, oh, mutants, we don't trust you.
And she's a Jewish character.
Sorry?
Isn't she?
Well, that's the thing. She's doing this speech and then Kitty Pryde is a Jewish character, and so you've got these kind of references, this passage, which people have said, well, look, it's obviously like undermining the context of what the writer has said, which I can see that point of view. The artist Saif since came out after the controversy blew up and said, look, oh no, this is actually the passages are actually referring to, you know, about numbers of love and justice, and it just seemed a bit.
There was another one that the BBC we're talking about was that Kitty Pryde, when she's making that speech, she's standing in front of a jewellery shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the way that she's cut in front of the sign, it just says Jew.
Yeah.
Next to her head.
Yeah. It's not very subtle.
Ooh.
Not very subtle. So it kind of kind of whipped up a Twitter storm and an internet witch hunt, really, which has seen him being dropped as the regular artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Marvel have already gone to print with issue 2 and 3.
Right.
But from issue 4 onwards, it's going to be a new artist. So he's kind of gone on Facebook since and said, oh, my career's over, which I think arguably it probably is, particularly with Marvel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, it's not very subtle. It's a bit stupid. But should he have lost his job? Should he have lost his career? Were people genuinely offended?
It's the internet. People be genuinely offended about anything. But I think as well, it's like in his, when he released that statement being like, yeah, I probably lost my job and I've probably ruined my career, but I stand by what I did.
Yeah.
So it's not just a big coincidence then. He's dropped.
No. He's actually come down.
But it's also like a massive company like Marvel who answers to so many people, especially now that the MCU's taken off as big as it has. Uh-huh. They have to be seen to have done something. It's not the kind of controversy that they want to be wound up in, I guess. So,
and that's the thing, like, we're living in really uncertain times, and it just seems that if you're going to... It just seemed a bit foolish, really, to do that. And I'm not saying I agree or disagree. It was just a bit of a silly thing to have done when we're living in the times that we're living in now.
So that's going to be removed from future printings and collections. Apparently it was still on the digital Comixology store. But to me, it's like there are loads of chances making the most out of this. So on eBay at the moment, you can pick up this issue for like anything from 25 to 100 quid.
Huh.
So a lot of people aren't offended by it. They obviously seem like to make some money out of it.
Which is probably not what you wanted at all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it detracts from what the comic is actually trying to achieve, which is going back to basics with the X-Men characters, kind of harking back to the classic era from like the 80s and 90s. Does it to a certain extent. I mean, I'm kind of a lapsed reader. There's a massive thing at the back where you've got like a rundown of all the characters as a kind of timeline. They call it the Road to X-Men Gold, which is really useful because I've only got about halfway through this when I stopped reading. And a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got, like, you know, Colossus who died, came back to life, died again. Kitty Pryde who died, came back to life again. Nightcrawler who died, came back to life again.
I see a theme.
You just see a theme. So, and there's Wolverine, of course, who's now Old Man Logan, because the original Wolverine's dead.
X-Men.
So that was all right. As a comic, it was all right. It wasn't, you know, it's a good start. X-Men Blue, which is the time-displaced original X-Men... it's much better. It's got a sense of fun to it. As far as I know, there's no controversial hidden messages in the artwork. I actually bought it just for the cover art because I'm a massive Arthur Adams fan. And it's great to see his stuff. I'd love him to do like a single issue again, or do like an annual like he used to do back in the 80s and 90s. But that's my background. But it's fun. There's some weird stuff in it that I've kind of not understood, like the Beast is also a kind of trainee mystic. So he's like muscling in Doctor Strange's territory, which is a bit strange.
Sure.
Jean Grey's the leader of the team. So have you noticed, like, both teams led by women? I'm sure the internet's outraged by that.
Yeah, some sort of been distracted by the other controversy.
Yeah. But no, it's a promising start. But actually, out of the ones I've read out of the new Resurrection relaunch, is Weapon X.
I love that you've got three different X-Men comics. Yeah. You never learn, did you, Stuart?
I never learned. So Weapon X is really cool. I like this one. So this is Old Man Logan, Lady Deathstrike, Thunderbird, but I think they've given him the name of Warpath.
Because
Sabretooth and Domino. So the Weapon X facility are experimenting with mutants again.
When will they learn?
They're after the Weapon X dudes. It's quite violent, quite cool. So you've got Old Man Logan attacked by his kind of robotic humanoid using Lady Deathstrike's technology.
Oh dear.
They get a pound of Wolverine's flesh, and you see like the Weapon X facility making a new thing using a bit of. There you go, look. A couple of pounds of Wolverine, they call it. No, that's quite good. And I like the artwork from Greg Land. So that's the one I've actually quite enjoyed the most out of those new launches.
Here it is.
Anyway, that's
ceremoniously
mine.
Drop them on the table. There they go.
That's mine.
Bam!
So let's talk about one we've all read.
Right.
Who wants to take the lead on Spencer and Locke? Do you want to do that one, Liz? Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I really liked it. It kind of, because I was talking to you about it, too, and it was like Calvin and Hobbes meet like The Wolf Among Us / Fables.
Yeah.
Meet, I don't know, like a gritty detective drama, but it's basically about a guy who has had a troubled childhood. And he finds solace in his toy panther, and then he grows up and becomes a detective. And this toy panther, in a very Calvin and Hobbes way, is a giant panther who wears a shirt and tie, and is his partner.
Yeah.
And he has to. It's sowed quite a few interesting seeds. Like he had to go back to the place where he grew up that he'd worked so hard to escape from, and the first crime that they're solving is like someone that he knew, and it was just sort of weird. Like I love the bit where they're in the diner and he's talking to the thing. He's talking to is it Spencer that's the panther?
I think so.
And he's like talking to this thing, and then the woman comes up to him and says, "Who are you talking to?" She's like, "Leave me alone. Give me some more coffee.
Yeah,
talking to my toy panther here." No, I really liked that. I really want to see where it goes.
I was quite surprised by it, and it's kind of it wears its Calvin and Hobbes influence on its sleeve. By the first page is done in a Calvin Hobbes style, and then the flashbacks you have with him, they're kind of done in that kind of cartoony style. It's quite dark as well. I quite liked it. What do you think?
Yeah.
You were that impressed? You were like, meh?
Yeah, to be honest, Lucy sold it more to me than actually reading it.
Oh, okay.
I think I need to, I'm going to reapproach it.
Right.
I'm going to reapproach it. And give it another bash. I think there has to be more to it than this. I want to see the payoff.
Right. Okay. As the first issue, I was quite impressed. Mm. So it was interesting.
Yeah, certainly different.
There's a bit of a cliffhanger at the end, though. There's a bit of a cliffhanger at the end. It's going somewhere. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that was good. Did you like it then, or were you not?
Yeah, no, I liked it. Yeah. I'm kind of like in between Lucy and Neil in my opinion of it. I'm sort of reserving judgment.
Okay.
But no, I did like it. I like the art style. I like sort of, like you say, like there's a dark sort of film noir-esque element to it, which I quite like. So
that's just it. Maybe I'm just not into my dark as much as I used to be.
You're a happy chappy, aren't you, really?
Oh, yeah, everyone
but
knows.
You start family now, and it's all like roses.
Yeah. Yeah, I've aged out of this comic rubbish.
All right, okay. Well, we'll give it a go. I think it's just come out. Check it out.
Ooh.
And next one we've got, another one we've got sent for review. It's not even out yet. I don't think it's out till May. It's Freeway Fighter, mate.
Yes.
Go on, then. This is your thing.
So once upon a time, Stuart and I used to read these fighting fantasy books. Did you girls ever read fighting fantasy books?
No. I do know of them, though.
She knows of them.
That's code for I wasn't such a loser as you muppets.
Yeah, 1986, I was bombing around on roller skates in the park, not reading.
We were shutting, weren't we?
We'd be like, girl, jeez. Good on roller skates.
I'm going to my room.
I'm going to read the latest Beano. Gosh.
Anyway,
Fighting Fantasy has an anniversary. And as part of that anniversary, we're getting some comic runs.
Is it 35 years or something, isn't it?
God, don't make me feel old.
Yeah,
we're already feeling old.
Yeah, 35 years this year.
Yeah. So they have commissioned Freeway Fighter to be made into a comic.
They have.
They have. I am familiar with part of that team due to contractual obligations, so I was quite curious to see what would turn up. And what it is it's like a prequel to the book. This series is going to take you up to the start of the Fighting Fantasy Freeway. God, what would you call them? I was going to say novella, but you know, the actual
game book is what they're
called. Yeah, it's basically taking you up to the start of that. And it does it really well. And basically, if you haven't already guessed, Freeway Fighter is essentially Mad Max, shamelessly Mad Max.
Yeah.
But totally. What the Freeway Fighter comic does is do Mad Max better than Mad Max did Mad Max.
As in comics, which is generally called
as in comics.
As in comics, yeah. Because the Mad Max,
when Thunder Road came out, there was a series of prequel comics, and they were without exception just
Yeah, we were quite excited about it, weren't we? We were just like,
We're like, that film was amazing. There's no way the comics can be. But
well, I think George Miller was behind the comics as well. He was involved in it, so that's why
biffed it.
Yeah, biffed it.
Biffed it, George. But no, Freeway Fighter does post-apocalyptic wasteland driving about better than they managed. It does feel very, very much like the book itself.
Right.
In terms of like the characters that you encounter, the way that they talk, it's perfect. Like if you've got as much love for like this book as we do, you're right at home with it.
I really enjoyed it. It wasn't much to happen in the first issue though, and I kind of we're waving around a copy of the original book here. Great for audio. Yeah, it's which I rescued from the loft. So I want to go and actually play the game book again. But yeah, the backstory is the same. It's like, is it 85% of the world population is dead?
Yep, killed out by a virus.
Yeah.
Yep, they kept that the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's sort of alluding to the lead character has a Trumpington Chew candy bar.
Right, okay.
Which basically, you know, suggests that a certain someone was still in charge of the world when all this was kicking off.
I didn't pick up on that.
Trust me, your hawk-eyed comic reviewing pal Neil Gortz to pick up on that. No, it's good. And I'm trying not to go too far because I may or may not have read issue two.
Son of
a gun. Wow.
Yeah.
But I know, like, ladies, I've read issue two. Oh, wow. I still have my roller skates. It's amazing. Not only is the comic brilliant, it also features a very great advert on the back of it.
Oh yeah, issue one will have an advert for the BAM Comic Book Podcast.
Great podcast.
Recommended by BT engineers everywhere.
Yeah.
Sky engineers.
Engineers.
Oh, I don't know. And BT engineers.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? You both read it.
I really liked it. Yeah, but I mean, I had no knowledge of it before. Right. So coming into it, it kind of felt more like, all right.
Yeah.
Female-led Mad Max.
Yeah. Well, so is it Della Rossa as a name? It's quite a cool name, that.
Mm.
Yeah.
She was badass, I think.
Yeah. But it started off a bit Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights.
Did it?
That's maybe, maybe one more.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. I started reading it, I was like, what have they given me? Sports.
Yeah.
It's like NASCAR at the beginning.
Yeah. And then it went into the post-apocalyptic stuff, and I was like, all right, I'm at home.
Yeah.
These are my people.
Yeah.
These are my people. I know, really, really happy with it. I'm definitely going to pick up the rest of its run. It's got some amazing covers coming out. I think Forbidden Planet landed an exclusive where it's just the game sheet that you get in the book. So it's sort of for the benefit of our ladies, not so great for audio. You can use the cover of the comic to chart your own Freeway Fighter adventure.
You used to write in your diary, didn't you?
Yeah.
One thing I did notice about the comic, I thought was quite nice, is they give a tribute to the original illustrator of the book, Kevin Ballmer, who died in 2011, I think. So that's quite a nice little heads up. And if it does well, I think they're alluding they may well do more
I do hope so.
Fighting Fantasy spin-off comics.
Yeah, it was, like, each one's a such a great universe to have fun with.
If they want help doing a Caverns of the Snow Witch or Creature of Havoc book, comic book, please give me a shout. I'm happy to offer my services.
Space Commando, mate. That was a good one.
What
was
the Space Commando was terrible.
What?
Shite. Hated that one.
What was the robot?
Terrible cover as well.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What was the robot one?
That was Space Commander, wasn't it?
No, there's one where you get to, like, drive a big robot about.
I'm sure that's was that Robot Commander then? Because you're getting mixed up. So there was Starship Traveller, which I thought was shite, and then it's Robot Commander was the one. It's like Transformers, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I didn't like that one.
Look how we're losing, I guess.
Yeah, anyway, let's get back on track.
I was just thinking about roller skates.
Pretty bad.
There wasn't a Fighting Fantasy roller skates one. They missed the battle on that one. They would have got Carly on that.
Yeah.
1986 Carly would have been all over that.
Yeah, she'd have been like tearing down her Tears for Fears posters.
Yeah.
Spandau Ballet posters in the bin. I'm turning to comics. That's how I imagine little Carly talks.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My little ponies are in the bin.
What? No.
You love ponies. Don't tell me you didn't love ponies as a girl.
Like, I had a bit of a guilty, like, pleasure for Care Bears. But other than that, I was 100% He-Man.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So Lucy's of a slightly younger generation. You probably, that's all gibberish, right? Does any of that make any sense to you?
No. I had a Care Bears VHS tape. My sister was the horse girl of the family.
Right.
Kept in the cellar.
Yeah, so she would be like, sheds. My little pony, and she'd actually go horse riding, and I'd be like, ooh, outside now.
Oh. At least it's a shine like us. Hence why she's on the comic book podcast.
I'm still reeling from the fact that Carly had He-Man figures.
Yeah, I used to line them all up, and I had my Castle of Grayskull, and I put them in front of the television, and we'd watch Top of the Pops.
As was intended. Exactly. As was just what Mattel would have wanted.
Yeah.
With my mates.
Is that imaginary mates?
They were your mates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see you going clubbing with Skeletor.
No, it was all about Evil-Lyn. She was my...
Girl.
We're digressing.
She was bringing sorcerous realness. We are digressing. What comics should we talk about now?
You're getting the three you left around here.
Oh.
You can have them back as well.
What? Right, so speaking of Lemonade, we just got a comment about this, didn't we?
So, yeah, regular listener Hattie South messaged on our Facebook page and said, "Are you guys reading America? I'm so hopeful." Which you were like, oh no.
I need to run this past the missus, to be honest, because she read Young Avengers, which is where I think America Chavez had debut. I just don't get it. I picked it up because I was ensnared by the Beyonce-ness of it all.
Yeah, and you've got issue two as well, which is like...
I've got issue two, big mistake. So lured in by the Beyonce, but didn't get the first issue. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to make of this. I think it does this thing that Marvel does, and DC does it as well, to a lesser extent, is as soon as you get an established character, they just go off on these fantastical adventures. And I'm just like, what's going on here? Like, they did this with, like, Ironheart as well. You're like, okay, like, we've got some representation here. This is brilliant. We've got, like, you know, this young black... you know, protagonist, this is great representation. Oh, she's just fighting the same cardboard cutout Marvel monster aliens.
But couldn't you argue about that? That any, even like the white, you know, superheroes, aren't they doing the same thing? Aren't they fighting the same villains?
No, you absolutely could make that point. But, you know, I picked it up especially because I was like, oh, here's a protagonist that's quite different.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of overwhelmed me in terms of like, what the fuck is going on here? We've got all sorts of like time traveling dimensionness.
Yeah, because she meets Agent Carter in the Second World War, doesn't she?
Hold
she
on. Does. It's my mum.
Okay.
She's got something to say about it.
Mrs. Moxie's on the podcast.
I can't talk at the minute.
Should have got her in.
Yeah. Get Mrs. Moxie's hot take on it.
It's what happens when you stay with your mum.
Anyway,
you can't edit that out, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely staying in.
Yeah.
Definitely staying in. Perhaps my fault for being lured in to the Beyonce-ness of it all. I've got a lot of faith, and like, representation is important. It's just, I don't understand what I'm looking at here.
You say to me sometimes, you
make me eat my words, dude.
No, I'm not going to make... I remember you say to me a lot of the time when I pick up a comic I don't quite get, you're like, it's not aimed for you. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's not for you. Well, so this is not for us. And that's fine. I got halfway through and thought, this is actually not something I'm... But for then, me, I wasn't like, this is rubbish.
There's nothing rubbish about it. I just don't understand what I'm looking at. And Marvel just last week revealed that they'd had a slump in their numbers.
Yes.
To which a lot of the other side of the internet was like, this is because you're trying to be too diverse.
But you know that's horseshit, right?
Of course it's horseshit.
Because apparently the numbers on a lot of their staples, so your X-Men,
yeah,
and your Iron Mans, you know, and the titles which were always selling really well have kind of slumped as well.
Yeah.
So the reason behind that is because they keep bloody relaunching. Like, I've lost them out a number of times. They keep relaunching their line, and that's what's caused the drop. The drop's happened since the end of the Secret Wars crossover,
mm-hmm.
which I'm farting
in the bath.
I think that was delayed, and it was just kind of went on for too long, and everyone just kind of used it. Rather than using the excuse to jump on and start, people use it as a reason to jump off and go off to read something else.
Which is how we got started in this whole thing. We were getting bored of the same old comics and went exploring and started talking about comics more and more. And we're like, oh, we should make a podcast.
Yeah. So here I am talking about X-Men.
We got an ironing board out and a microphone.
We did.
And here we are. I don't want to write off America just yet. What I want to do is run it past the missus that read Young Avengers and see what she makes of it.
Tune in next time for some hot takes from Mrs. Gordon.
Yeah, we've already had blistering hot takes. The doctor actually phoned back today, because you phone 111 and they're like, okay, this is what you should do, and a doctor will phone you back.
Context. What's the context of it?
Oh, the baby was vomiting everywhere this morning. Welcome to my world, everyone. he phoned back and she picked up the phone and he's like, oh, is this the mother of the Gorton? She was like, that is your name from now on.
Mother of the Gorton.
Mother of the Gorton. Love it.
Brilliant.
Love it. America, all that aside, we will come back to America with a more considered opinion, because I genuinely feel out of my league, and that's never happened to me before with a comic. Good. Where I'm like, what the fuck is going on? On the flip side, let's go back to Curtis Weeb's Rat Queens, which has also relaunched recently with a number of great covers, one of which, amongst some of the other Image comics, gave a percentage to Planned Parenthood if you bought that particular cover. So Rat Queens is an amazing comic which has had great success.
What's the elevator pitch if someone doesn't know what it's about? Good luck with that.
Yeah, an elevator pitch for Curtis Weeb's Rat Queens. It is an entirely female-led Dungeons & Dragons troupe that's basically like the Spice Girls down the park on a bottle of Strongbow cider.
Oh, deep cut.
There you go. So again, it was like a comic where it's not the same old white guy protagonist.
Yeah.
So I was attracted to it straight away. Now, Rat Queens has had a bit of a troubled past. They've had to have stand-in artists. It looked poised to just be shit-canned.
It's been over a year, has it?
Yeah. There was a while where it was like, it's going to be all closed down. But no, they're back with a new artist, and it's fucking great. Unlike America, and not to like take away from America, but like I can pick this up and straight away I know where I am with it. You don't have to have ever read an issue before, and that's fucking gold in comics. Every comic you should be able to pick up an issue if you've never read it before and understand within a couple of panels where you are, who the protagonists are.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens. Essentially, the cast wake up after a massive bender.
Yep.
They all sort of reunite. There's no harking back to like the cliffhangers and events of past. They just go meet their mates and they have an adventure together.
Yeah, go dungeon exploring.
Go dungeon exploring. That's exactly what I wanted. In this particular one, they meet a comedy male counterpart troupe of themselves, which reminded me of all sort of like old 2000 AD used to do this a lot. Like you would meet your sort of like mirror doppelganger. It's just good. It's funny. It's great. Wonderfully illustrated. It's just back to where it should be.
Sweet. I liked it. I've only read the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the first one I've read for a couple of years. And like you say, I managed to pick it up and get straight back into it without going, what's going on?
So important.
Yeah. So it's good.
So important.
So what's on the last one you've got there?
Right. As I am aware that we have but 10 British minutes to wrap all this up, let me introduce you to my old boy, Donnie Darth Maul. Yeah, those are the sort of sounds that should be made whenever Darth Maul's on the scene. So, listeners, viewers, we can do a visual album.
Yeah.
Let's work on that visual album so we can have viewers. So regular Bams to Tears will know that we really got into the Darth Vader run for its... Excuse me, a little burp there. You can end that burp out or keep it in.
Keep it in.
Too real. Darth Vader had a great comic run.
Did.
And has had many spin-offs. And the Star Wars comics themselves usually have a good couple go in and then sort of peter out. Mm. Not all of them have maintained the intensity.
I'm struggling to keep up with the current Star Wars.
Totally fair. Dr. Aphra and...
You know, but that's the ongoing monthly series Star Wars. It's at the moment they're doing a storyline with Yoda, and it's like, oh, this is really boring. It's generally really, really boring. It's like, it's over 6 issues, I think, and they could have done it in one. So I'm kind of struggling to keep up with that.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. However,
you tapped out a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I tapped out a long time ago. However, once I saw that your boy Darth Maul had his own comic, I was like, oh, fuck yes. Because if Darth Vader could be that dark in a comic and be badassery, I was going to get involved with this. So I picked it up. And I really wish I didn't. I know. I wanted it to be fucking amazing. And
did you read his dialogue in the voice of Peter Serafinovich?
I did. Yeah. I totally did. Yeah. See, the problem that they have is they have this character where they have an almost open license. You don't really know much of Darth Maul's backstory.
Yeah.
He is in Rebels. I know he's cropped back up in Rebels with like a bionic torso. So we know he's not dead. So he doesn't die, although he dies on screen.
Yeah. He got cut in half, didn't he?
Yeah. So the comic picks up a couple of years before that, and it's all like, at last I'll be able to shank up some Jedis. Yeah. And here I am doing some training to build me up to the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, and I see here's the tie-in creatures from The Force Awakens. Yeah, that's a little nod.
Oh, the Raftars, the big sort of giant angry testicles.
Yeah, essentially what they look like. And I just don't care. I don't care. You don't have to make me care about Darth Maul, for example, but like... It takes, over the course of like 6 or 7 pages, he takes care of these monsters and he chops them up and it's like, yes, I'm really good at chopping stuff up. And like, yeah, we know you're Darth Maul. Like, we didn't need 7 pages to know that you like to stab things and you're good at fighting. And then for the preceding, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 pages, he stalks a couple of Jedi across Coruscant. And it's like the equivalent of watching, I don't know, fucking Saruman from Lord of the Rings playing Chap Chap Run at someone's door. You're like, don't skulk about in the shadows and sort of like, oh, just you wait, Jedi, I'm going to stab you so hard. And it's like, we've seen you kill Liam Neeson on screen. We know you're hard as fuck.
Yeah.
Don't skulk about like a pouty boy. And just, nothing... It doesn't go anywhere. Like, he meets up with the... God, what do they even call him in the prequels? He went by another name, didn't he?
Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious, that's it. Spoilers, Palpatine. And he's like, oh, you know, I've fucking been following these Jedis around. He's like, oh, don't follow Jedis around. You're not ready. You're not... Just a little bit longer. But if you follow Jedis again, I will destroy you.
That was more Jar Jar than Palpatine.
yeah, but it's like, it just shows them bickering.
Yeah.
It just takes away... I mean, I don't want to say that The Phantom Menace had a great credence to it, but at the same time, I'm just like, all this... You could use this mystery and this thing that you've built up inside your head so much better than showing them bickering. It basically ends up, he goes on a mission and finds out that, like, there's a Jedi Padawan that's been kidnapped... Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, the Jedi don't know where this Padawan is. My boss doesn't know who this Padawan is. I could go there and I could kill Jedi and tick it off my bucket list. And it's like, really? Really?
So you're loving this. You're...
I'm really not. Yeah. I'm really
having a great time.
It just shows Darth Maul pouting, which is not what I wanted. I wanted... Vader down, I wanted Vader at the end of Rogue One just being an absolute monster.
Not emo.
not emo. This is essentially, they've given us emo mall, and then the biggest problem is they've taken this little spin-off comic at the end of it, which feels straight out of, like, you know how they have, like, the Star Wars kids comic?
Yeah.
So they've got, like, a sort of 5 or 6 page comic about the little probe droids that Darth Maul uses when he's, like, chasing down Anakin. He's on Tatooine, like, flying across the desert. And this droid flies across the desert, finds a broken down droid who can talk. Oh, please help me, evil probe droid. And he, no, I don't want to help you, I'm an evil probe droid. Ends up helping it, and then they become friends, and it decides not to go back to Darth Maul. It just wants to stay and be friends with this other robot. And I'm like, I don't understand why you've included it. What you've essentially done is just driven a nail through any pretense that Darth Maul's in any way a bad person, has the capacity to be evil.
He's just misunderstood, mate.
I wanted so much more.
Right.
I will not be buying the second issue to see how this pans out.
There you go. That's our review.
Shit off, Darth Maul. Yeah, that's my review.
So, from the vaults.
Right.
Walt Simonson, one of my favourite writer-artists.
Yeah.
Did an exceptional run on Thor, basically reinventing the character. Back in ye old 1983, all the way up to 1987.
Carly hasn't even got her first He-Man back.
I know. Yeah. So that was, I mean, it was roughly like he did 45 issues.
Right.
And he drew most of them and then got another artist to come in on the latter part of his run. And I think anyone who's excited about the new Thor movie, who hasn't read this stuff, absolutely should get on this. They're, Marvel has collected them into 5 volumes. under the Visionaries line, I think they did.
Okay.
You can get it all on Comixology as well, individual issues. There's a few things why it was so cool. So in the movie, you're familiar with old Anthony Hopkins, otherwise known as Odin.
You're unworthy!
Exactly. Banishing Thor to Earth to teach him humility. Basically, stripping him of his powers. In the comic, to teach him humility, he basically put him in a body of a lame surgeon called Dr. Donald Blake, who had a cane. And so basically what happened, once he taps his cane on the ground, he turns into Thor. And his cane turns into a hammer.
What, like Dorothy tapping her heels together?
Yeah. So this is kind of, I mean, they didn't do this in the movie because I think most people would have gone, what the... It's ludicrous stuff. Sure. It was very 60s. So this carried on for almost like 20 years in the comics. And the very first issue, basically Walt Simonson kind of turned it on its head. And another part of this, was that the hammer, if he threw Mjolnir, if he was separated from it for 60 seconds, he reverted back to Donald Don Blake. So that was the MacGuffin. So that was kind of like, obviously loads of people did storylines based on, oh no, Thor hammer's trapped in another dimension. Oh no, I've lost the power of Thor. I've become human again.
Right.
So in the first storyline, this alien called Beta Ray Bill comes to Earth.
Called what?
Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill.
Like, yeah.
Like the Beta Max Bandit, right?
Yeah. It was the '80s. Who basically picks up Thor's hammer and gets the power of Thor, which was like, oh my god, this is unheard of. So at the end of this storyline, basically Odin gives Beta Ray Bill the power of Thor, and also lifts the curse, well, not the curse, lifts the enchantment on Thor. So he basically doesn't have to become this Dr. Donald Blake anymore. He's permanently Thor.
Hmm.
So he ends up having to have a whole new identity, and they kind of have a little light dig at the Superman thing, where they basically give him a pair of glasses, tie his long hair back in a ponytail, and he becomes, via the help of Nick Fury at S.H.I.E.L.D., becomes Sigurd Jarlsson, a construction worker.
Yeah.
Isn't that a Skyrim character?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, they basically just abandon this whole daft, daffy Donald Blake stuff. So they do that pretty much in the first storyline. Walt Simonson blends like Norse mythology with the kind of wacky sci-fi stuff that Stanley and Kirby did. One of the best storylines was where basically he goes to Hell. He takes on Hela, to be played by Cate Blanchett. And he basically goes to Hell with Asgardians and the Einherjar, which is the Nordic dead, honourable dead. And basically he leads an army of them, not just with swords, but also with like M16s. And so I mentioned the Carl Urban blink and you miss it scene in the trailer where you've got him with 2 M16s or machine guns.
Yeah.
That's actually taken from a scene where Scourge, the character he plays, basically stands at the gates of Hell with M16s and takes down zombies with it to try and help Thor and stuff. And it's like, that stuff as a kid was like, this is amazing. Another thing is basically he takes on Hela and she scars his face because like, her touch can mean death. So he ends up having to grow a beard because he's like, he's hideously disfigured. She then even curses him that he can't die, but makes him weak. So every injury he gets, like his bones don't heal. And he ends up having to construct an armour to kind of keep his body together. And it kind of goes over a course of like two years, I think his storyline goes on. He's getting more and more battered. And I won't say how it pans out, but at the end of his run on the series, he kind of gets his revenge on Hela. And it's kind of really cool stuff. Like Loki's great in it. He's behind the scenes manipulating stuff.
And a lot
of this stuff has been is actually in the movie. So you've got like, as I mentioned, the Scourge thing, the iconic scene that's going to be in the new movie. Malekith, who was wasted in the Dark World, who's the character Chris Eccleston plays. He's basically our evil Dark Elf, who gets the casket of Ancient Winters, which was the MacGuffin in the first Thor movie. And they kind of wasted it, I thought, in the first Thor movie, because in the Thor comic, they break it open, and basically the entire world is like covered in permanent winter, and so they have to kind of like close it again. But yeah, it's good. I don't want to go too much detail on that because I'm going to spoil it for you guys, but I think you should totally check it out. And I'm going to lend you, Neil, a copy of the first volume. I want you to read it.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I know you were. I know you were. So,
you know, I'm genuinely curious to see if I, as a modern comic reader, can pick this up.
And that's why I want to say, because like, I started reading it again last night, and I genuinely almost set fire to my kitchen because I was cooking dinner and I forgot I left the hob on. So I went back in the lounge and wondered why it was all smoky. And I thought, oh, it's just really atmospheric. I'm reading this comic and it's like, oh, it's all like smoky. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, I left the cooking on. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like 30 years on, and I think it still holds up now. So I want to get your take, your hot take on it.
All right. You'll get a blistering hot take from me next time.
Oh. And your opinion on the new Thor comic.
Oh.
We're going to say goodbye to Cardi then.
Bye then.
Bye, bye darling.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye.
We'll do a better outro.
Yeah, that's fine. I've got a quiz.
Whee!
Is this our first quiz? Probably is our first quiz, isn't it?
First quiz in a damn long time.
So the idea of this is called... it's a working title. It's called What's My Origin?
This is much better than previous working titles.
Okay, and the idea of this is I've written down a number of cryptic descriptions of origins of superheroes and or supervillains.
Right.
We'll take it in turn. I'm gonna basically go, you know, it's Lucy versus Neil. If this works, the idea
Battle
is...
Battle of the it's
ages. Gonna, there you go. Battle of the ages. The idea being that it'll be Neil versus a guest. Ideally, someone who's got comics knowledge, I think.
Right.
So to go off, start it off, I'm going to start with Lucy.
How dare you?
Okay. So I'm going to read out... I mean, just give you an example. I mean, so, for example, if I was to say Batman, I'd say something like, you know, I don't know how I'd cryptically say it.
It's hard to do Batman cryptic, but for example, it'd be like, oh, a mysterious hero whose parents were off.
Yeah, kind of.
Or you could be like, a cold alley.
Ooh, like Kirstie Alley.
Well, all right, I'm going to start you off now, Lucy. Here's one. Here's a genuine right. one. Ready right. for this?
Okay. Is it Batman?
Damn it!
Damn, she's good.
Yeah. Okay. A POW with an engineering degree.
Prisoner of war with an engineering degree. Iron Man?
Oh, she's good.
Fuck!
She's good. did you know that?
No, I was going to say MacGyver, but totally Iron Man, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, here's one for Neil.
Right.
Marooned on an island.
Strong start.
And forced to learn survival skills.
Marooned on an island and forced to learn survival skills. And this is a hero or villain?
It's a hero.
It's a hero.
So Lucy's pulling a face. Is that like a, I know this, or it's... No, she doesn't. She's like, oh.
This is a...
Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
It's a terrible TV series.
It's terrible. Terrible TV series. Yeah, but Iron Fist wasn't marooned on an island. I want to see Doc Savage, but it's not Doc Savage, is it?
No,
I don't go.
Does Lucy know?
I was going to say Iron Fist when you said terrible TV series.
Oh. It's your Green Arrow.
Confession, I've never read any Green Arrow.
Okay. No one for Luce.
Uh-oh.
Jewelry inherited from a dying alien.
Ooh.
Jewelry... Not that one. Green Hornet?
Nope.
I'm going to let her take another pass, because it's on the tip of her tongue.
You can't do that. I'm going to be harsh. No, that was your guess.
It's
no.
Green Lantern.
There it is.
Oh, no, I'm doing a toss-up between the two.
you're still winning, though, by 1 point. To Neil's zero. Okay. Oh, this one you're getting.
Right, I'm confident.
Rejected for military service until science came along.
She knows. She knows. Yeah. Rejected for military service. I don't know. Fucking, I know. It's Captain America.
Well done.
Yes.
There we go. One each. Right. Here we go, Lace.
Okay.
School field trip spins off a new career.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. No. That's too easy, right? Okay. 2-1 to Lace. Here we go. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
The stuntman who sold his soul.
Ha! Ha! I do know this one. It's the Ghost Rider.
Yes.
Yes.
So, that was 3 each.
Right.
Or 2 each.
No, no.
So, the decider. Haven't got any buzzers, have we?
No.
Right.
No.
So, we're just going to be louder than each other.
Okay.
Like a regular lives.
The this bit is in quotes. So, right. The first one, in quotes, believes in survival of the fittest.
Professor X?
No.
No, Magneto.
This is a villain, but it's not those. Neil? Lucy was quite close in her sphere of
Cerebro.
Comic knowledge.
Oh.
Or comic universe.
Striker?
No. So, again, I'm going to put the quotations. The first one, heavy emphasis, the first one, believes in survival of the fittest.
Is it...
You should fucking know this.
Is it fucking... I can see his stupid hairy face.
Oh, it's not hairy.
Oh, shit. Maybe it's not him then. I was going to say it's Wolverine's brother.
Nope.
Sabretooth.
Another clue?
Give us another clue.
Wow, it's an X-Men villain.
Senator Kelly.
No. And this is why you were all wrong to make fun of me for liking the best movie of all time. It's Apocalypse.
Yep.
Yes.
It wins.
Don't you dry retch X-Men Apocalypse. 5 stars all round.
So I did that really quickly since you love that terrible movie.
How dare you?
There you go.
How dare you?
So the winner of our first, maybe only, What's My Origin? What's your prize?
Yeah.
You get to pay on the next Comic Book Podcast.
Hey! My life has meaning.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go. That was issue 26. Your girl, C. Moxinator on Twitter, has had to step suddenly, because we all have busy lives.
We do.
We all busy lives. After the shocking revelation that we have the same pyjamas, where can people find you on social media, Lucy James?
I am at Lucy James Games.
Yes, she is.
On the Twits and Instagram.
Oh, she does Instagram as well.
Go on. I don't
building my brand.
I don't think I even follow her on Instagram.
You know?
Shit.
Yo, you do.
Do I?
I get an occasional
like
coffee.
Where can they find me? I'll tell you where they can find me. They can find me at Neil Gortz on most things.
And they can find me on Stunami on most things. And they can find Bam on Bam Comics Cast on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
Not Instagram. We're on Tumblr.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. So thanks again for listening. Please like, review and subscribe on your iTunes and your Podomatics and all that stuff.
Yeah, give us a little rating. It all does help. If you have agreed or disagreed with any of the reviews that we gave to these comics, do let us know. We love to chat about it.
We do.
Yeah.
Mm. And if you're a Sky TV engineer, please feel free to recommend us to all
your... We'll find out. Maybe we'll find out next week.
Exactly.
If
by the apocalypse.
By the apocalypse.
Thanks again for guesting, Lucy. We'll have to get you back again.
Thanks for having me.
You have to do a rematch for What's My Origin. That's it.
Take you on Gorts.
Make myself look big on a bear, which is wasted on audio. All right. Thank you very much, Lucy. Thank you, listeners.
Bye.